are watching Game Time Decisions. I am Gabriel Morenci. Once on the program, that puts his money where his fantasies are on the Fantasy Sports Network. Triple Threat Thursday this afternoon. George Kurtz is going to step up and in. We're going to talk some NHL hockey. Chris Meaney will join me in studio. We'll talk some NFL football, some Major League Baseball, some NHL hockey, and whatever else is on Chris Meaney's mind. Ted Savransky will join us straight from the Strip in Las Vegas, Nevada. We'll talk some NBA basketball, little baseball, little football with Teddy. It's a quiet night tonight. We can't lie. There's no NBA basketball on the board. There's a plethora of Major League Baseball games going on as we speak right now. And I think we have the smallest amount of plays of the day that we've ever had here in 3+ years. Like, no joke. Like, even on, like, national championship nights, and even when there's, like, one game, we have props and we've got, you know, a couple of angles. We got two picks tonight. We got two picks. We got a baseball pick and an NHL pick that we'll give you a little bit later on. As the Cleveland Cavaliers continue to Harlem Globetrotter the Eastern Conference, you've really got to start to believe right now that this is no joke. Like, the Warriors and the Cavaliers, they're not going to lose a freaking game. Like, this is where we're at right now. And for the record, the Golden State Warriors, Vegas has just posted a prop for the Golden State Warriors to run the table and not lose a game. It's plus 800. If you think the Golden State Warriors are going to run the table and not lose a single game, it's 8-1. I don't think that's a good bet. Golden State's going to lose a game. They're going to lose a game when they play against the Cleveland Cavaliers. All right, Golden State Warriors aren't sweeping the Cleveland Cavaliers. That's a bad bet. Just as Donald Trump getting impeached, a bad bet. And, you know, it's amazing, man. We see all, you know, on Twitter, you know, I see people all the time, oh, look, the impeachment odds. And the mainstream media picks it up that the betting market's going crazy over Donald Trump about to get impeached. The fact of the matter is the line has barely moved. It hasn't moved at most books. But it's moved at a couple of books that play the media. And it's amazing that people fall for this crap. You know, it's like basically like one of these sports books or porn companies. Like, you know, like when a porn company offers Miley Cyrus $5 million to do a porn, they know she's not going to do it, but they also know they're going to get a ton of publicity out of it. That's what these sports books do. Patty Power's the freaking king, and damn it, I just said their name. They won again. I just said, these guys will put a prop on anything and say anything for anything to get a publicity. It keeps on working. Oh, a Trump line moved. Yeah, Trump line moved. How much free publicity has Patty Power gotten in the mainstream media this week? Like, literally tens of millions of dollars worth. All by, you know, moving a number that nobody's really betting on. So it's a crazy world that we're living in. But anyways, Cleveland Cavaliers messing people up right now. You know, I wish this was like the old days. And like, you know, we still had VCRs, because I would just fast forward this son of a bitch. Let's just, you know, in the old VCR days, actually, and I've always been a degenerate gambler, like even in, you know, the pre-internet days or whatever. So in the pre-internet days, you could actually step out on a Saturday afternoon and not be spoiled. There was no internet. There was no Twitter. There were no updates. If you wanted an update, you called the 1-800 number. Right? And it was like a buck a minute, and they talked real slow. U and L V 80 Fresno State 71. And the worst part was, if you missed the game that you wanted, you had to listen to the whole damn thing over again. It would end up costing you like $12. But I remember in the old days, I used to like tape games on Saturday. Sometimes I'd step out and I'd bet on the games, and I wouldn't know the results, and I just get home and just fast forward through the commercials, man. And then I got real impatient. I used to just fast forward to the final 5 minutes of the game. I was like, all right, screw this. I'm not watching this game. Did I cover or not? But I want to, you know, I want to watch it at least a little bit. But everything's spoiled now. You don't even have to watch anything. You can see everything online instantly. Oh, this happened. That happened. So we all know it's been a crazy week, man. It's been a crazy ass week from all the Donald Trump impeachment talks, in which he's not going to get impeached, people. Don't bet on that. If anything, bet that he'll resign. He's not going to get impeached because the GOP's in control. They're not going to throw their own dude under the bus. He could resign eventually. If it gets too bad, you know, he could find a way out and say it was a conspiracy and they never let him get on track. That's plus 125. That's a better bet. But it's a crazy-ass world that we're in this week. We got North Korea threatening to bomb Seattle. This is no joke. He can get a missile there now in like 36 minutes. There's some serious-ass stuff going on. Drunk dude plowed into Times Square this morning. The media is in a constant state of hystericalness about Donald Trump. But the only thing that the media is more hysterical about than Donald Trump and Russia and Michael Flynn is Conor McGregor and Floyd Mayweather. As I see a lot of these sports and MMA media jackals out there keep on pumping out the stories, pumping out the tweets. Ooh, Conor McGregor, the deal is done. The deal is done. Are we really supposed to be surprised that Conor McGregor came to terms with a guy that he actually freaking works for? This is like telling me that a deal has been reached between a prostitute and a pimp. And no kidding. A deal has been reached, yeah. You know what the deal was? Dana White says, hey, Conor, you know, unless I get a big piece of this, this doesn't happen. That was the deal, all right? Oh, the deal has been made. It's a hell of a lot easier coming to terms to agreement with a fighter that you're under contract with than it is Floyd Mayweather. Like, you know, speaking of like Miley Cyrus doing porn, you know, there's a better chance of like convincing Beyonce to do porn for like $12 million or something than getting Floyd Mayweather to do this. Like, I don't know if you guys know this, but Floyd can be difficult. Listen, I'll tell you a story. I lived in Las Vegas, all right? I knew a dude, he used to pimp up cars and stuff, all right? He didn't have one of those reality shows, but there's a ton of these shops in Vegas. So this guy used to pimp up cars, and he was known as, you know, pretty good at what he did. Floyd Mayweather rolled in, ordered like $300,000 rims, all right? You can't even get these rims anywhere, man. They had to order them from like freaking Italy or something. It's like $300,000. Floyd changed his mind. I don't want him anymore. I'm telling you, that's what he's going to do with Conor McGregor and Dana White. Now, listen, I don't begrudge Conor McGregor for wanting to do this. The guy's 28 years old, and he's talked his way into this. The guy's never boxed in his life. Can you imagine that? You know, imagine, you've never played football before, and you just ran your mouth over and over and over and over about how you could beat Tom Brady and the Patriots. And then finally they said, all right, kid, you're going to play Tom Brady and the Patriots because you bitched about it so much. Look, it's amazing that Conor McGregor's even gotten this far, and after this Floyd crap falls through, you'll be able to do another boxing match against a smaller boxer that's going to want to make money. So it's going to be a win-win for him in the end. It's going to be a win-win for the UFC in the end because they got a ton of publicity out of this, and after it falls through, they can say, oh, Conor McGregor's fighting whoever, George St. Pierre, Tony Ferguson, whatever the hell it is. And Floyd Mayweather, it's a win for him because he stays in the media. Now, listen, I've been saying that this fight's not going to happen. In fact, Super Bowl weekend, Dana White said there's a better chance of him becoming a backup quarterback for the New England Patriots than this fight is happening. I don't believe that Dana White even believes it's happening, but I do know that Dana White enjoys the media going crazy every time Conor McGregor tweets something. And now Conor is saying the only person that Floyd Mayweather can knock out is his wife. You know what's going on now. Now Conor's just trying to bait him. It's not going to work. It's not going to work. Floyd Mayweather already makes like $100 million a fight. You know, Floyd Mayweather's face is on the side of the MGM. Floyd Mayweather is his own promoter. Why is he going to willingly give up $50 or $60 or $100 million to Dana White in the UFC? Conor McGregor doesn't have a damn choice, all right? Conor McGregor doesn't have a damn choice but to give up some of his earnings to the UFC. He's under contract to them. They're letting him do this. Floyd Mayweather's not under contract to the UFC, all right? He's no obligations. Floyd Mayweather could fight a freaking blackjack dealer from MGM and make $48 million, all right? It's not like he needs Conor McGregor to make $100 million. You know, I don't know if you know this, but Floyd Mayweather's at 49-0 right now. It's going to tarnish him breaking Rocky Marciano's record, beating a bum that's never boxed in his life before, all right? But yeah, like Larry Merchant said, you know, boxing has a lot of black eyes over the years, so it can handle another one. But let's be real. Floyd Mayweather can come back and fight anybody. It's going to be a big fight because it's going to be his 50th fight. He doesn't need Conor McGregor. The fight's not happening. I'm telling you then, now, and I'll boast that it never did happen then. And if it's wrong, hey, it won't be the first time I was wrong. Game Time Decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. Game Time Decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network. We got to get some fans in here. We got to get some TVs in here. Maybe a freaking clock would be nice. Is this a casino? There's no clock. Like, So I think I've said we need a clock in here like 3 years ago, but nobody listens to me. I ate a chocolate chip muffin before the show starts. Camera 2, Drew, the guy's in front of me, does we do the damn segment and tells me after the segment, you have chocolate on your lip. All right, let's bring in Ted Safransky right now. Teddy, you got to help me, man. Like, what's going on, Teddy?
Marancy, sounds like you're having a great day, my friend.
It's a crazy day, a crazy day going on out in the world. Like I said off the top, has Kim Jong-un bombed Seattle yet? Yeah, Chris Cornell, unfortunately, Soundgarden, someone plowed into Times Square this morning. Something's in the air today, Teddy.
Yeah, well, I saw your retweet. The end of the world is coming, but the show's still going to go.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, show goes on. It's like the Titanic. I'm like the band. Yeah, we go down. That's it. we go down with the ship. But, you know, all kidding aside, I was joking off the top of the program. I give plays of the day at the end of every show. I only have two plays today to give. So a lot of baseball this afternoon. We got a hockey game tonight. No NBA. And I don't know, Teddy. For the life of me, I don't understand how these guys can't figure it out how to have games every day. And not only games every day, but the abnormalness of the NBA playoff schedule in which, you know, no one knows when the games are. You just sort of assume it's 5 days later type of thing. I'm shocked that they're making the Cavs and Celtics play again, but you know they're just forcing it because they don't have a choice.
Well, they're doing it in part because the Eastern Conference semifinals went seven games. So, yeah, you don't want to have one series in game three and the other series in game one. Hence the, what, 4 or 5 day layoff between San Antonio and Golden State.
Helps the Spurs, though, Teddy, right? I mean, maybe Kawhi Leonard could get, you know, what do you think?
Of course.
I think he's going to suck it up and try to play.
I think he has to, you know. I mean, if he can walk, he has to play. It's just that simple. It's not a situation where, you know, you're everything for that team. You're the best offensive player, the best defensive player, the on-court leader. The ball flows through you possession after possession. We've seen what has happened in the series when Kawhi Leonard has not been on the floor for San Antonio. It hasn't been pretty. So if the guy can walk, he's got to play. And I would expect him to play. And the markets are saying they expect him to play. The early money has come on San Antonio plus the points.
I saw this morning that the Golden State Warriors are plus 800 to run the table and not lose a basketball game. I said off the top of the program it's a bad bet. They're going to lose when they play the Cleveland Cavaliers at least one game. I don't think it's a good bet at plus 800. Maybe you disagree. What do you think?
No, I don't want any part of that bet. No team's ever done it. And I don't think any team's ever going to do it. You know, 16-0 is tough.
Yeah, no, that's what I was going to say, too. I wanted to look it up, but I don't exactly have a team of interns. And I don't have like a 12-team, hey, look up this history for me. But off the top of my head, I was thinking that nobody's ever on the table. The Bulls were like 15-1 once, weren't they?
The Lakers had a really good run.
Yeah, I think the Lakers were 15-1 also once.
Yeah.
So can you imagine? So, Teddy, we're going to have two teams undefeated. We will have two teams undefeated to get there, though. Would you agree with that?
No. Not necessarily. No. Again, I mean, the Cavs dominating Boston in game one does not mean that the series is over.
Oh, it's over, Teddy. It's over.
I don't think that the
The series was over as soon as the national anthem was finished.
You don't think Boston has any chance in any game in this?
None. I think I think last night was their spot. If you can't beat a team that's been off for 10 days and you're at home and you didn't even leave your city for the last 4 days and you get smoked like that and Cleveland didn't even break a sweat, I think they sweep them. And in fact, Eddie, it sounds crazy, you know, but I'm a crazy dude, right? So, but it sounds crazy.
That's why we get along.
I think there's a better chance that the Spurs with Kawhi can win on Saturday. Like, I think the Spurs can beat the Warriors more than the Celtics can beat the Cavs. And I know that sounds illogical, but I believe that.
I don't think it sounds illogical at all. But, I mean, Boston's problem in game one, they were physically intimidated by Cleveland. You know, it's not like the Cavs have this big physical front court and they're known for bullying teams. They're
exactly.
Not.
I thought Boston was going to try to bully them, Teddy.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the Celtics, the short turnaround teams have a terrible track record in game one. I mean, a terrible track record. The markets are aware of it, and everybody's aware of it. And it's really hard when you've been in the lockdown in this seven-game series against one opponent, and your game one opponent's been sitting there, you know, resting and twiddling their thumbs, and they're really good. and they're rested and ready. So that transition is tough. And the short turnaround for Boston may not be the best scenario for the Celtics. But I think Boston, I'm not willing to write off the Celtics being unable to win a game in the series just because they played poorly last night.
You know, it looked like the Raptors series. Everyone freaked out, the Raptors suck. Casey's a horrible coach. Brad Stevens is a genius. And then, like, last night, so Stevens is a genius now? Like DeRozan said, people in Toronto didn't like him saying it. But they said, what happened? He goes, what happened? They have LeBron James. That's what happened. Like, he basically said, they have LeBron James. We don't. They won. We lost. Not the attitude, you know, fans want to hear. But that's almost the attitude in the NBA right now. And I wonder if Boston, I saw Kyrie Irving. Isaiah was chirping and Kyrie just pointed at the scoreboard and laughed at him.
As he should. You know, I mean, nothing bugs me more than, you know, hey, you're getting blown out and now you're yapping your mouth. You know, it's like,
Me, I'm like, dude, I know your sister died, but you're starting to push it a little now. I'm just being real now. Like, I tell him that, hey, listen, I'm sorry what happened, but, you know, shut up, bro. Yeah, just shut up. Like,
but, you know, I mean, Isaiah Thomas defensively has been ranked as the single worst player on the floor in the postseason so far. Yeah. So there's likely to be a continuing problem when you're talking about the Celtics defense against Cleveland. But one thing that Boston have, I mean, they do have quality depth, and the Cavs do not have an elite shutdown defense. And you put those two factors together, and I say, you know, are the Celtics going to win the series? No, it doesn't look like it. But are they alive to win a game or two and make things interesting? I'm not writing this series off as being done yet. Let's not forget what happened with Cleveland-Toronto in the Eastern Conference Finals last year,
yep,
where the Cavs dominated that team games one and two. And
you're like, Cleveland. But that was in Cleveland.
I don't think it makes any difference. Do you? Do you really think that the Cavs don't know how to win a game on the road?
No, I don't think the Celtics know how to win on the road. I think the Cavs can win anywhere. I don't think the Celtics can. The Celtics couldn't beat the Wizards on the road.
I've been making money with Boston on the road all year. I made money with Boston on the road last year.
But did they beat Washington? No, the home team won.
They beat the Bulls three times on the road.
Without Rondo.
They are capable of winning a road game, even though they weren't able to overcome the Wizards' strong home court.
I think they'll get massacred in Cleveland both games. So what about game two? They're getting 5.5 right now. Sounds like you're ready to give Boston a mulligan in game one. As far as the total is concerned, it barely got there. Man, I was sweating it out, Teddy. And I needed it. Like, you know when you need it, like just emotionally, one of those, like, you know, I played like a pro line lottery at a 7-1 odds, Teddy. I was like, Cleveland's going to smoke them. They got to win by 6. I took the Ottawa Senators. Long story short, I had a 7-1 parlay, and it wasn't online. There was no buying out or anything, and it was locked in at 219.5. And I'm like, dear God, I need 120 points in the second half. And I told people live on the radio show last night, we're not out of this, you know? If we can get 70 points or so in the third, and people are like, you're crazy. They put up 67 in the third.
Sure, sure. Well, how'd you like that late flurry? I mean, even with there was about, a minute 40 left, and it's 111-97. It's kind of starting to get towards the dribble out time. And then all of a sudden, what was it, back-to-back threes, you know, boom, boom. Green hit one on the one end.
Yeah.
And then Fry hit one on the other. Or Fry's was the one that got it to it.
And thank God for Zeller being playing hard to the final whistle. He kept taking it to the rack and getting fouled, thank God.
Yeah. But there was a flurry in that final minute 40 seconds.
But I think the pace gets there because Boston's probably better offensively, right? So why not go back with the over in game two?
I could only look at the over in game two if I'm betting the total in that game.
Yeah.
You know, the Celtics, and pace-wise, has been a noticeable difference for Boston. Boston at home versus on the highway, they have really done a much better job at pushing tempo, at getting out in transition, and they've gotten much better contributions for their supporting cast playing at TD Garden than they have in other venues.
All right, so before we get to some baseball, Warriors, similar number, same number actually right now. Cavs are 5.5, totals 219.5. Warriors, as it is right now, laying 5.5. And this is interesting. We had Mark Lawrence on yesterday. And Mark told me that he grabbed a 7 before it was 6.5 yesterday. He grabbed the +7 with the Spurs. Now it's 5.5. So either guys like Mark Lawrence are betting this or the odds makers are sort of leaning towards Kawhi playing, right?
Yeah, I mean, and you, certainly the markets are saying that Kawhi is going to play based on this number. But let's not forget, all right, game one, everybody healthy, Warriors rested, Spurs less rested. Golden State minus 10, okay? You translate that, Golden State minus 10, as a base power rating for the series, and you say that the markets have the Warriors maybe six and a half points better than the Spurs going into the series. And Kawhi misses game two, and it's minus 14, all right? But going back to that original minus 10, in theory, that's supposed to translate to a Golden State minus three or Golden State minus four for a game three scenario. You throw in the success that the 0-2 teams have had returning home for game three.
Yeah.
And you say, yeah, maybe it's Warriors minus three. And instead it opens 6.5, which tells me that the markets may be overreacting a little bit to what they saw in game two, even though game two, frankly, it's a non-factor. When you think about what game three is going to be like, considering the fact that the Spurs were, you know, the extra rest that San Antonio is going to get, and considering that we expect Kawhi Leonard to be healthy enough to suit up.
Teddy, between you, we have Brian Blessing on, Mark Lawrence, Steve Merrill, Dave Malinsky, our regular guys, the crew, so to speak. It's not in any of our nature to be laying 14 points in these games. I didn't speak to one person that said this game's not a blowout. Brian Blessing won't bet a damn golfer unless he's 80-1. He never wins. I don't like him. He's 16-1. He's going to win, Brian. I don't like him. I bet the horse 40-1. Who cares? He had always dreaming. I had the 35-1 shot, Gabe. Even Blessing was like, oh, they're going to smoke him.
And they did.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And of course, you know, there aren't, it's not like, first of all, the playoffs aren't the regular season. But there are spots that laying 14 in an NBA game makes perfect sense. I didn't get to the window with it, unfortunately, but I'm glad that at least some of my colleagues did.
That's crazy, Teddy. I thought we had more. I thought I only had that was it, but I got a ton of stuff I want to throw at you. So we'll go rapid fire here. Baseball, Houston Astros are killing it, 29-12 on the year. Now plus 1,332 units on the season, and they open up a 10-game homestand now. look to ride the wave. Hopefully the numbers don't get too crazy, but the odds haven't been too nuts. Speaking of games tonight, Marlins and Dodgers – I'm not ready to lay a price with Ryu on the hill the way this guy's been pitching. And I remember, because as a Dodger fan, Donnie Baseball used to really piss me off. And and then he came back last year, and it really made me even more pissed off that he swept us, Teddy. I didn't need to look at the database. When I saw that, I was like, didn't Mattingly, like, sweep us or, like, beat us a lot last year? And they did. They won all four at Chavez Ravine, actually. I'm not ready to, I don't know. I'm not ready to take the Marlins either here. What's your take?
Well, yeah, I mean, Miami has played, I'd say maybe I think they played the worst baseball in the majors the last 3 weeks. What are they, you know, 4-17 in their last 21 games? And, I mean, every way that team can lose, they're finding ways to lose. You know, if the lineup hits, the bullpen falls apart. If the starting pitching's there, the lineup doesn't produce anything for them. I mean, it's been an extended run of failures for a team that on paper – it's supposed to be, you know, a 500 caliber squad. They haven't been there. I think the best thing for Miami is to get the heck out of Dodge and fly out to L.A. and face Mattingly's former team. And from a value standpoint, you know, L.A.'s not winning for you. You're not kidding. You know, came back in his first out off the DL and got absolutely lit up last time.
Yeah.
Not a guy who I'm comfortable laying 180, 190.
Dodgers better score a five spot tonight or something. Exactly. You're counting on them.
I'm leaning over. I like over eight.
Yeah, and for the record, too, Volquez, I think I could get it over the plate more than he can right now. 24 walks in 24 innings. What the hell's going on, Teddy? Like, and it was weird because the Jays, I thought maybe the Jays had turned a corner. They'd won five in a row. They'd won 7 of 8. They had 3 of 4 against Tampa. And then they go home. They beat Seattle. And then they get Atlanta. But at the same time I thought they turned a corner, I was thinking back to last year and previous years. And remembering even the sad sack Philadelphia Phillies would go on these 7-game win streaks sometimes. In 162 games, even the worst baseball teams will win 4, 5, 6, 7 in a row a couple of times in a year. It's a long season. It's going to happen. I'm not saying the Jays are going to regress back to being pathetic again, but a little disappointing that they've lost 3 in a row to the Braves.
It has to be more than a little disappointing, especially if you're a Toronto fan. But You know, we're talking about a team, another team, where it's almost, if it could go wrong, it has go wrong. Look at the Jays' record in the first half of games this year. They've been the biggest money loser in baseball. They're always behind at the five-inning mark. And, you know, their bullpen hasn't been good enough to get there. But, you know, Stroman, in theory, is supposed to be the streak stopper.
Yeah, exactly.
He's the guy that's supposed to come in, and they've gotten lit up. You know, the bullpen's gotten lit up. The starting pitching's got lit up. The Braves are hitting. But Atlanta just lost Freddie Freeman. And I don't know if there's one offensive player that means more to his team than Freddie Freeman does for Atlanta. So I think the spot is right. And the matchups may well be right for Stroman and the Jays to snap that three-game skid tonight.
Yeah, I've got one baseball pick I'm giving to viewers. That's the pick. That's the pick. Freeman out. It looks like Freeman's going to be out for a while now, too. Is it a broken hand?
Yeah, it's not a good injury for Atlanta. And Atlanta, I mean, they were hitting the ball so well.
Atlanta's threatening them on Twitter, too. They're saying there's going to be hell to pay tonight. Like, did you know this? The Jays have hit seven Braves batters in the last three games.
Yeah, it's been a contentious series.
And the Braves have been hit a league-high 24 times this year. It's a lot. Brave guys have been hit 24 times, and they're not happy. They're not happy that Freeman's out. It's funny, because moments before the show started, I was in a donut shop, and a Jay fan came up. He goes, "Hey, bro, Freeman's got a broken hand. Braves are tweeting about it right now, about how they're going to get us tonight." And I guess Josh Donaldson's tweeting about it now. And it was a great line from someone on the Braves last night. I don't know who said it, but he said after the benches, he goes, "I'm surprised Bautista still wants to fight after what happened to him last year, of course, to Odor." And yeah, he really is the most disliked player in baseball, this guy. And no one likes this guy.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty universal. And the fact that the teams weren't bidding for him, you know, that Bautista wasn't like the hot free agent guy.
Yeah, a guy that hits 25-30 every year, but they're like, we probably don't want him in our room, right?
Yeah, it certainly felt that from a guy that is not universally liked around baseball. But again, from a spot standpoint, this is a Toronto spot. Whether that matters for a Blue Jays team that has underachieved from day one. And of course, Donaldson's still got to get healthy. You know, Tulo's back. He's been the biggest non-factor of anybody this year. So, you know, it's a team that just hasn't hit the baseball well enough, but the matchups work in their favor tonight.
Tulo's a gamer, but he's past his prime. Good guy.
He's been past his prime. Tulo's always, I mean, if he wasn't hurt.
Exactly.
You know, he's had great half seasons.
Good guy, though. He's a Vegas guy. He likes to bet and stuff, Tulo. He likes NFL football. We got to get out of here, yep. Teddy. We have a couple of more weeks with Teddy before Teddy goes to football camp all year. Teddy's going to be, like, studying in a bubble from, like, June through late July, and then he'll be back with all this information. But we'll see you next week, Teddy.
I look forward to it, Gabe. Thank you.
Ted Savransky with us. George Kurtz joins me next. Game Time Decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. I am Gabriel Morenci. Great stuff with Ted Savransky. Thanks to Teddy for joining us on the show. Let's bring in George Kurtz. Let's talk some hockey. We'll talk a little Yankee Royal baseball as well. Not a lot of baseball games on the board tonight. A lot of stuff going on as we speak. George Kurtz, what's up, George?
What's going on, Gabe? How you doing?
Hey, good to have you back, man. I'd have you on, but they shut me down. I'm like, hey, get Kurtz on. I swear, it's been like 2-3 times. I'm like, get Kurtz on. We'll talk hockey. So, like, he does the meanie show now. I'm like, oh, okay. All right. So, you know, but all kidding aside, I guess it's every Monday, right, you do it with meanie?
Yes, Monday we've been doing previewing each show round of the playoffs.
Yeah, exactly. So I knew you weren't on with Chris today, so I figured we'd shoot you a call. Before we get into the games here, this is for the bettors out there. This is for you, Cameron, too, Drew. You're not going to like this. Our boy Drew, he's been ducks. Kid grew up watching the Mighty Ducks movies. He loves the Ducks.
I don't blame him. Ducks are a good team now.
Yeah, they were a good team. They're not as good as the Preds. But no. Listen to this. So the odds right now, and I don't even know what the odds would have been before the playoffs started. It would have been crazy, man. The Senators versus the Preds right now, that's the consensus. The Nashville Predators are favorite to win the Stanley Cup. They're plus 180 to win the Cup. Senators versus Preds is plus 132. If you think the Ducks and the Penguins, like Cameron 2 Drew's praying, if you think the Ducks and the Penguins are going to still make it, you can get plus 632. The Ducks versus the Senators, plus 491. Preds versus Pens, plus 186. So essentially, the sports books are thinking that it's either going to be the Sens and the Preds or the Pens and the Preds right now. What do you think, George?
The Predators look great. I mean, what are they calling out in Nashville? Or Smashville? They're playing well. That home crowd is nuts. It's crazy what's going on down there. Their defense, top four defense. You mentioned Chris Meany. He asked a question weeks ago. In the Stanley Cup, let's say the past 20, 25 years, can we think of a team that had a top four defense anywhere near close to what Nashville has? With Subban, Ekholm, Yossi, Ellis. And the answer is no. You really can't. That defense is that good.
Even off the top of my head, I'm thinking, all right, what about the old Oiler days?
Even then,
I know they didn't. They weren't as deep. Randy Gregg's not Roman Josie.
I mean, you go to the recent Blackhawks team: Duncan Keith, Seabrook. That's two.
Yeah,
but you don't have four. They're playing that well. Anaheim on Game 3. I mean, you can complain about the shots, how accurate they were, but they were outshot 2-1 anyway you look at it. They're being dominated right now.
How about this, George? You mentioned the Preds D. They had 21 shots on goal in Game 3. The Ducks had 20 as a team.
That's psychotic. I mean, it's psychotic. It's chancy because it means you're chipping in maybe a little bit too much. Anaheim may want to attack quicker on that.
You know what it is like, George? With the offensive production that they get from the defense, it's like having like Devin Hester returning a punt every time the other team punts. Or it's like having a three-point shooter. It's relentless because other teams don't have that. Other teams don't have four defensemen that are essentially forwards in the offensive zone.
And Anaheim's a good defensive team. They actually might be number two or three in the NHL as far as having top defensemen, but they don't have the offensive capabilities that Nashville has. And Pekka Rinne has really been maybe a tick above average. Certainly is not as good in this round as he has been the first two rounds. Anaheim's in trouble, and really tonight is almost a must-win for them.
You bring up Rinne, and listen, he had one bad game. Okay, he had one bad game. That's bound to happen in these playoff series. You know, it's always that one game. It's 7-6, it's 6-5. There were some bad goals allowed by both these goalies. But to me, John Gibson's by far the shakier goalie right now, and I think his confidence is shaken. He never knows where the puck is, and it's a common pattern with Gibson right now. He's not comfortable in the crease. He just isn't. You can tell.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think there's any doubt that he's the shakier goalie. The game-winning goal by Yossi on Tuesday, where he didn't know where the puck was. He's looking here. The puck's here. That's not good. You know, and then it was an easy empty net yawning goal, 24 square feet for Yossi to shoot out. He's shot and won. If I'm Nashville, I mean, you can say this every game, but if you can get an early goal on Gibson, you do wonder if he'll fall apart tonight.
You know what I feel? And I pricked the Preds before the series started because you look at the Ducks – and they want to bang. They're a demolition team, right? It's like MMA with these guys. They're running you. They're spearing you. They're slashing you. They're doing everything to you. But you know what? They feel the aches and pains as well. It's not like they're like robots and they don't feel it. So they play so physical. And I tell you, George, even though they swept the Calgary Flames, all four of those games were freaking wars, man. They were wars. Then they played seven games. That was a battle against the Edmonton Oilers. The Ducks are tired right now. They just look a little tired. They're a little old. And then you've got this young speed of the Preds. And I think that's the combination here. I think the Preds win tonight. The Ducks win when they go back home. And then the Preds finish them off in game six.
I agree with you. I picked the Preds to win in seven games, but six games now sounds about right. I certainly think the Preds – I don't think anyone can beat them in Nashville right now. Not the way that stadium's going, not the way that town's going. Smashville is where it's at.
No, man. They've won the last 10 home playoff games as well. We should throw that in. All right, Ottawa. I got to tell you, Gary Bettman's worst nightmare is coming to life here. Crosby's going to get knocked out, the Ottawa Senators. And I tell you, the Senators are very similar to the Predators when I watch them play. They don't have the same, obviously, defensive dynamic, but they might have the best defenseman in the world right now in Erik Karlsson. But on top of that, very fast. They're not giving Pittsburgh an inch, basically. It's relentless. There was a red jersey on the puck instantly. They're such a smooth-skating team. The defensemen do a great job of getting the puck out of the zone quickly. It's not a fluke. I've been telling people this for weeks. Ottawa are not a fluke. They're fundamentally sound.
They are fundamentally sound. They come at you at 2-3 lines. They know how to play. I think they've also caught a break here. No Letang. Excuse me, I'm dying.
Yeah, exactly. The Pittsburgh Penguins, and I'll give you a second, and this is what a pro does. I'm going to give the guest a second to regain his breath. But the Pittsburgh Penguins, the depth has got to catch up to them. They look tired, and the injuries, Meany's been talking about this all week. Look at the defensemen that they have. You can't win a cup with the group that they have on the ice right now.
No, because they got guys playing out of position. Guys who don't know how to get the puck out of the zone, lead the power play. They're in trouble now. I wonder if Crosby's still a little banged up. You know, the concussion that he had, you wonder if that's still affecting
him. For sure he is.
And now who's going to start the next game? Is it Fleury?
Who would you start?
I got to go back to Fleury. He's played really well. I got to give him one more shot.
Me too. Me too. Fleury's your guy. He's always been your guy. I get it. You've won with Murray before, but Murray's not fresh. It's not like Murray. If Murray would have stood on his head and looked awesome, I'd think about it, but nothing changed. It wasn't the goaltending fault. Ottawa was just all over them.
Yeah, I mean, Ottawa looks like the better team. They're taking advantage of that defense right now. And I think Pittsburgh is just not feeling it. They're not taking advantage of their talent. They have more talent. Crosby, Malkin, Kessel. They need to be the best players on the ice. And you notice how we haven't heard about from Gensel. You have Kunackle, Cheery. They've been quiet this series. Pittsburgh's not getting that secondary goal scoring.
It's caught up to them. And I'll tell you what, the Pittsburgh Penguins weren't that good against the Washington Capitals.
No.
You know, they were lucky. Look at the last three games in that series. They lost two of the last three. They won game seven against a team, you know, that doesn't win big games. You know, the Capitals always just shoot themselves in the foot. They didn't get it done. But I wasn't overwhelmed by Pittsburgh against the Capitals, so I'm not surprised to see them slowing down and fall apart right now.
I watched that series. That was the series I wanted to watch probably the most in the playoffs so far. And the only game that I would say Pittsburgh outplayed Washington was Game 7. Other than that, Washington, and when I say outplayed them, I think they badly outplayed them. But, you know, things bouncing with Pittsburgh's way, Fleury was fantastic. It's the NHL. It's the one sport where a hot goaltender can win a series for you, and I think that's what we saw against Washington.
All right, we got to get out of here, but we got the Yankees and the Royals on the board tonight. Montgomery versus Duffy. Duffy struggled a little bit, but he's strung together two strong starts. Montgomery's okay, decent, pretty good for a rookie. He's going to give up four runs or so. It is what it is. Yankees are killing it, though, man. They've outscored them. They put up 18 runs and 29 hits the last two games. How about Castro? Now 18 multi-hit games in just 37 games. Very impressive. And I picked him up off of waivers earlier in the year on my season-long team. Who do you like tonight?
I'm going to go with KC here. Duffy, hard-throwing left-hander, is usually the kind of pitcher that gives the Yankees problems. I imagine Gardner will be out of the lineup tonight because Hicks will play and Ellsbury will play. But I think Duffy will shut down that lineup somewhat. My question is this. Can KC score? Sabathia shut them down on Tuesday. That shouldn't happen either. Montgomery is almost the same type of pitcher, throwing four pitches, hitting his spots. It could be closer than we think, but I like Duffy tonight.
George Kurtz, roto expert and not a homer. Dude's got the Yankee banner behind him and he picks the Royals. Hey, great stuff, George. Always a pleasure, my man.
Anytime, Gabe.
There's George Kurtz with us. Chris Meany joins us next in studio. Game Time Decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues as we get one step closer to Gary Bettman's nightmare. You know what the lowest rated Stanley Cup finals were in recent memory? Ottawa and Anaheim. They peaked at 1.2 million. What do you think Nashville and Ottawa are going to do? It just, you know what? I have my own personal problems in my life, but I just feel better knowing that Gary Bettman is distressed right now.
You're not wrong. It's true. It's not what he wants.
It's a nightmare.
Yeah.
Nashville, like I said, to me, you know what Nashville versus Ottawa is? This is the equivalent of the NBA playoffs finals. Memphis Grizzlies versus the Raptors. Like, yeah. You know, it's Memphis versus the Raptors. Like, yeah. The NBA would just be like, just shoot us now. Yeah. Like, do we have to air this? Yeah. Like, do we really, like, NBC is going to be, like, thinking, we can't put this on prime time on Saturday night. Like,
yeah.
We can rerun an episode of Chris Hansen busting a pedophile in an Ohio State sweatshirt and get higher ratings in an NHL game. You ever notice? It's true. I'm sorry, Ohio, but it's true. You guys have the highest ratio of perverts busted by Dateline. You're all Buckeye fans. Just saying. All right. I gave the odds earlier, Chris. I can't even imagine what the odds would have been before the playoffs because camera two Drew and everyone put together the Ducks versus Pens and Ducks versus Ducks. And even suckered Cam into this. Yeah, and Cam's like, I win $750, Gabe, if it's the Ducks versus the Pens. Sorry, Cam, not happening. Shouldn't have listened to camera two Drew. But that's plus 630 right now. The sports books are saying it's going to be the Ducks versus the Senators in a cup. The Preds versus the Sens.
I'm still not willing to count out Pittsburgh right now. I understand that they got blown out yesterday and their defense is atrocious. Actually, you look at them and it's awful. It's pathetic. And we knew this going in. We said they would miss Chris Letang, who played 29 minutes per game in the postseason last year. They lost Schultz. It looked like a separated shoulder. They got Daly back. They just look like a mess in their own end. But I still feel like they'll figure it out. Before the series started, I said 7. Ottawa will play with them and they'll play good. They didn't come out with any urgency last night, Pittsburgh. They looked soft, and that's expected. It was a home game in Ottawa. They were pumped up. The crowd was into it. I think they'll make some adjustments. I know they only have 3 goals in 3 games, but I still want to give credit to the defending champs that they'll make a series out of this.
I think they're worn out. I think Sidney Crosby is not close to 100%.
Yeah, it doesn't look great.
They look slow compared to the Ottawa Senators.
But saying that, game two, they dominated. Ottawa had like 2 scoring chances in 45 minutes to finish that game.
I know, it goes back and forth.
It does. Yeah. Pittsburgh does not look great, and their defense is in shambles. They get caught in their own zone. They can't break out. Their giveaways are giveaway after giveaway. Ottawa's counterattack
is awesome.
Yeah, they're like through the neutral zone. That's why they play the 1-3-1. They pick it up in the neutral zone, and they attack that way, and that's what they did yesterday.
And Pittsburgh's defensemen are having a hard time dealing with this.
And Fleury didn't play well yesterday.
But as you stated, each game is different. Momentum stops and starts and ends with the end of each game in the playoffs. I get that. But Ottawa at home right now are going to be tough to beat. They know they need to nail this down. A big difference maker. We can talk about the players and, they're doing a great job, obviously, but I don't see a choke job coming with Ottawa, not with Guy Boucher.
No.
He's too attention to detail.
Yeah.
They know. We need to win this game. We can't go back 2-2.
Yeah.
I think Ottawa is going to be every bit as desperate as Pittsburgh is.
Yeah, and they have to be because you don't want to go back to Pittsburgh 2-2. And then, like you said, the momentum shifts. Yeah, Boucher's on point. He's very intense. He's probably the most intense coach in the NHL. And we saw that before when, he brought the Bolts to the third round a few years ago. He loves his philosophy. He sticks to it. And last night, Pittsburgh had 12 scoring chances. Gabe, 7 of them were blocked. Only 4 of them hit the net. Ottawa has 3 defensemen who finished top 20 in the NHL in block shots. Carlson was number 2. Like, it's not trending in the right direction, but I still want to give credit to the superstars in Pittsburgh to, when it matters, see some urgency. Because we didn't see it in games 4, 5, and 6 against Washington.
That's
we saw
saying.
No urgency.
No,
they played a phenomenal game 7.
That's what I told George Kurtz, that they haven't looked great in the last couple of weeks, to be honest.
Well, in round 1, they gave up 38 shots per game against Columbus, the most out of anybody in any playoffs. In round 2, they got outplayed heavily against Washington. It's starting to catch up to them, I know that. But with guys like Kessel and Malkin, and maybe Connor Sheary can pick it back up here, maybe get some healthy bodies back. It's a lot to say, but I'm not counting them out just yet. But I do think, like I said before, it'll go 7.
Everybody's talking about PK Subban and the Montreal stuff, and people in Montreal get really pissed right now. It's a polarizing, it's like talking about Trump. He's not better than Weber. Weber's better. They wouldn't be the word. They wouldn't be the same team. They would be there. They wouldn't be there.
Yeah.
I'd stand here right now. They wouldn't be there. Hey, Nashville are a better team.
And their best defenseman in this series is not even on that board. Matthias.
Yes, exactly.
Ekholm. He's not even on the board.
So look, but all right. Let's look. So plus 5, not bad.
Yeah, plus 5, not bad. And also getting more ice time in this series because PK is their most physical defenseman. And Anaheim wants to play physical with you.
They
want to play
tough. He can handle in the corner.
He can handle Perry.
Because you're right. There's one thing.
He can handle Getzlaff.
Some of those guys are small, the Preds
defensemen. Yeah, so he has what I've noticed from PK and watching him all year long in this defense and how impressed I've been with him is he's always like 2nd or 3rd or 4th among defensemen on that team in ice time.
Yeah.
In this series, he's been first. Because of that, he battles with Perry, battles with Getzlaff, he battles with Kessel.
So I bring this up only because I think it would be kind of be funny if it was PK Subban versus Dion Phaneuf.
Yeah.
Somebody gets a cup, and Phaneuf got ran out of town as well.
Yeah, he did. Him and Kessel, him and Kessel have been going at it, too. There's something going on there.
There's a pattern, like players leave Canada and win.
Yeah. So the thing I've noticed, there's one stat I'll throw at you. Kessler and Johansson, there's a great battle between them, too. So they played 24 minutes head-to-head against each other 5-on-5. Anaheim has only 15 shots on goal, and that happens to Nashville's 35. The Ducks are trying to play physical with Nashville, and Nashville's not having any of it.
Yeah.
They're using their speed. They're using their depth. They're going at it. That worked against the Oilers, against the Kings.
And the Ducks are obsessed with it. They think, oh, it's going to work if we keep hitting them. And I saw the other day, they nailed Josie.
Yeah.
He got up.
And he just continued on. And I was thinking, good for you.
You just nailed him. And I brought this up with Kurtz. That hurts the Ducks, too. People don't realize that. All that banging and crashing. You don't think Kessler's waking up in the morning going, oh, crap, man.
Yeah.
My elbow hurts because I elbowed that Finnish guy in the face last night.
And maybe they just need to get back to play. Getzlaf is fine. He can do what he wants. I had nothing bad to say about
Corey
him. He's physical. Perry is the way he is.
But you've been to Nashville before, so you know what a legitimate, great hockey market is.
They've won 10 straight playoff games.
Yeah, they're 6-0 this year in the playoffs. They're on a 10-0 run right now at Bridgestone.
Did you watch the game, the last one? Nobody even sat down. They stood up the whole time. Like, when do you ever see that? I've been to a third of the rinks around the league in the NHL. This was by far
hottest celebrity team in the league.
Yeah, I mean,
Harry Underwood,
live music between periods.
Nicole Kidman, Keith Urban,
they got
Brent Snedeker, Kyle Turley. Come on, man, everybody's a Preds fan.
And they got fun chants. Like, they really know how to get it done, and it's a tough place to win.
But what did you tell me about Nashville games? You go to Nashville games, and it's like you're at a United Nations of NHL. There's jerseys of every team in the league.
Oh yeah, and we went. Eric Young, fan of the network, pro wrestler, big Predators guy, and he said.
Yeah, let Eric Young do the pregame.
Yeah, and he did it last year in this series against Anaheim. Okay, I think it was against the Sharks.
Okay, maybe stay away because they're winning without you, Eric. No, nothing personal.
Yeah, no, nothing personal. I haven't brought him yet. But no, you're right. He told me. He's like, you're going to see a bunch of different jerseys. You're going to see like a Sharks. And I did. I saw a Lucic Bruins jersey. I saw a Sharks. I saw a Habs. I saw a Buffalo Bills jersey. Mind you, they're playing Buffalo, the Sabres. But yeah, you see a whole lot. It's just
everywhere.
They have fun.
You know Dark Guy, the Leaf guy?
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw. I posted a picture the other day in his yard. Hey, guys, I'm quitting smoking. Guy's wearing, of course, LeSean McCoy Bills
jersey. He's verified
jersey.
On Twitter.
Yeah,
how does that happen?
You know, a lot of people are actually tweeting me and saying, how is he verified and I'm not?
I don't understand.
Verified.
I don't even think he smokes cigarettes. I think he's a joker.
I don't even think his real name is Dark Guy. All right, we'll be back with our plays
of
the day. It's fraud. It's time for our plays of the day, and we've got a lot of picks to get to. Oh, no, we don't have a lot of picks to get to. We've got two picks to get to. We're going to start off with the Nashville Predators, and I really hope we didn't curse the Preds by saying about how good they were for the last 60 minutes right now, but they really are that damn good, and I think they get it done once again tonight. The Ducks win the next game, and then the Preds win the series in six. The Nashville Predators are winning the Stanley Cup. We wrap it up with our baseball play of the day. The Toronto Blue Jays, I don't think they're going to get swept in a four-game series here, are they, against the Braves? They've got the best guy possible to stop the bleeding on the hill in Stroman. I don't know, though. Kevin Pillar might get suspended because he can't appeal what he said, and he deserves to get suspended. Don't be a homophobe, Pillar. May the winners be yours.